I always kind of chuckle when I think of what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes when he says there's no end to the making of books. And that was a few thousand years ago. And there have been a lot of books since that time. Now that anyone can publish a book on Amazon, we're getting a lot more. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of detail. In fact, you can actually have people who basically their job is just to try to find everything that's been written on something and make another book just about what's been written on this topic. And yet, in light of all the information we have, if I can say it this way, we have a lot of know-it-alls, but we don't have a lot of wise guys. And by wise guys, I don't necessarily mean the same thing as a know-it-all, but someone who is truly wise. Someone who is actually able to sift through the information and know what to do with it. And the book of Proverbs is a book that's designed to help us to have wise people. To have children that we bring up that don't just know things, but have wisdom and understanding. And the section of Proverbs we're going to look at this evening, the first six verses, really give us, I think, the purpose of this book. And explain to us why the book of Proverbs was written. I think it really probably extends on some level to verse 7, but Lord willing, we'll look at that in a couple of weeks, because I think that's a verse that's worth really focusing on and taking some more time and understanding what Solomon's saying in verse 7 in light of what he's trying to do in the rest of this book. But in Proverbs 1, verses 1 to 6, he tells us what the book is supposed to do for us. Let's begin reading in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, it might be interesting to consider that there are other books somewhat like the book of Proverbs that had been written around Solomon's day. Certainly you had other books that were often written from a king to his heir and was basically designed to say, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to live. And Solomon is doing that, but he doesn't explicitly mention that. He doesn't say to Rehoboam. He doesn't give that kind of designation, which I think is an indication in some ways that this book is not just to the next king, but it's to all of God's people in Israel, and ultimately to all of us today. That it is God's wisdom for us to know how we are to live. And then in the next five verses, verses 2 to 6, depending upon how you break it down, there are 7 or 8 benefits, 7 or 8 goals, 7 or 8 purposes for the book of Proverbs. And so let's begin to look through those, beginning in verse 2. And you have most of these are started with a 2. You'll see to know, to discern, to receive, to give, to understand. And so they're usually kind of designed or designated in that way. So first of all, why is Proverbs written? What will Proverbs do for us? To know wisdom and instruction. Now, know here certainly would include intellectual knowledge. But you probably know this, that in the scriptures, most often when the word know is used, it's a relational or experiential knowledge. Now, it certainly includes actual intellectual knowledge. Because in order to know someone, you have to know information about them. But it's more than that. And so it's really coming to experience it, to know it intimately, to become acquainted with it. One way I heard it put, as you're thinking about knowing wisdom instruction, it's not so much someone who maybe is a self-styled expert and can say, I know everything there is to know about diet and exercise, and yet this person weighs 600 pounds. They don't know it by actually living it out and experiencing it. And so the goal here is to know wisdom and instruction, not just with a head knowledge, but to actually know it as if it were a friend. To become acquainted with wisdom and knowledge. And again, it's not so much a goal of saying to have mastered it, as to continue to understand it better and better. And what are the two things in particular that are highlighted here? Wisdom and instruction. Wisdom in the Bible is often kind of designated it skill in living. And that's because the word at different times is used to describe ability or expertise or mastery of something. It can be used to talk about someone who's skilled at navigating the seas or someone who's skilled at crafting and building things. And so in many ways, it's pointing to not just, again, not just knowing things, but knowing what to do with them. Knowing how to live, knowing how to put the pieces together. And then secondly, instruction. And this word is sometimes used to describe discipline or chastening. And so this is a kind of teaching that is focused on shaping character. It's designed to produce something in us. And perhaps if I can say it this way, we are to know instruction, which means we are to understand and to become acquainted with the kinds of things that are designed to produce certain character in us. And one way we know you can do that is by actually receiving punishment and discipline. We sometimes talk about the school of hard knocks or the school of experience. And sometimes you can gain wisdom by doing something and finding out that was a really bad idea. And now I'm having to live with the consequences of it. But I think in some ways what Solomon is trying to indicate here is don't wait for that to happen. Heed my warnings now. Listen now to the kinds of things that's designed to cause you to shape the kind of character and mindset and attitude that God wants you to have. And so learn from the experience of others. Heed the instruction that you can receive. And if I can say it this way, our assumption coming into the book of Proverbs should be that we will need to be corrected. That as we look at what God tells us, as we look at the kind of life He wants us to live, we should come in with the assumption that we don't have it all figured out. We aren't perfectly living the way God wants us to live. And so we need instruction. We need guidance to help us to do what God wants us to do. There's a second purpose, the second part of verse 2, to discern the sayings of understanding. To discern, to have insight, perception, to the idea of being able to penetrate into the heart of something. And I think in some ways, we're thinking about the nature of wisdom. We're talking about people who actually have a kind of discernment. Maybe you know people who are really good at this. You're trying to wrestle with something, and they're able to figure out this is where the knot is. This is where the problem is. This is what's really going on. The book of Proverbs is designed to help us to get that kind of ability. To have the kind of discernment and insight that will enable us to get to the heart of the issues. And to do so, we will be able to think through the sayings of understanding. Know that word for understanding is similar to that word for discern. And the point is discriminating, discerning, distinguishing, pointing out the difference between truth and error, the difference between worthlessness and things that are worthwhile, the difference between wisdom and folly, the difference between things that are of fleeting value and things that are of lasting value. And so it is important as we're working through this book to keep in mind there really are differences. That there are some things that are good and there are some things that are evil. There are things that are worthy of our investment and there are things that we should not give any time and consideration to. And that's important because we live in a time in which the idea of discernment or discrimination is almost looked down upon. The book of Proverbs would call us to say, no, there is a proper way to think about things. And ultimately, that proper way to think about them, the sayings of understanding, is to view them from God's perspective. If we're going to have discernment, get to the heart of the issue, the only way we know we've actually got there is if we are doing so in light of what God says. And we'll look at that more fully next week as we consider the beginning of knowledge as the fear of the Lord. We have that second value, to discern the sayings of understanding. A third purpose is found at the beginning of verse 3. to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. To receive is the idea of to welcome, to accept it with approval. And if I can put it this way, in James chapter 1, we're said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give it to him. So should we think, if I want wisdom, I'll pray to God, and then magically I will get wisdom? And I think the book of Proverbs would tell us, if we want wisdom, if we want instruction in wise behavior, certainly we should pray for it. But how we're going to get it is by reading what God said. It's not just going to magically happen. We need to actually take it to heart. We need to absorb it into ourselves. And we do this in some ways by receiving it from others. And that's something that we'll see throughout this, but I think it's maybe worth pointing out at this point in time. But the book of Proverbs doesn't give the idea, if you want true wisdom, you need to go on a mountain somewhere and just kind of be by yourself. That wisdom is actually found within the community of God's people. And so we are to receive instruction. And that instruction, again, is the same basic idea we mentioned earlier. It's a kind of chastening lessons. And these are specifically geared towards wise behavior, prudent behavior, good common sense activities. And that's expanded or explained by that second phrase in verse 3, righteousness, justice, and equity. That we are called in wisdom, not just to think a certain way, but to act and live a certain way. There's a certain type of behavior that is wise behavior. And that behavior is marked by righteousness, justice, and equity. And all of those words are saying very similar things. All of them are focused on the fact that God has a certain standard. And our lives are to match up with that standard. And our character is to match up with that standard. And as we deal with each other, we are to do so in a way that reflects the standard that God has. So other translations that people give for these things is for justice, is things that are just, for equity, things that are fair or upright. It's the kind of life that walks along the straight path that God has laid out. As we look through the book of Proverbs, we'll see God telling us how to interact with people, how to respond in certain situations. And wise behavior matches up with His standards, with His character. And so if we want to know how to deal with other people, if we want to know how to navigate life, the book of Proverbs will help us toward that end. A fourth purpose or benefit is in verse 4, to give prudence to the naive. And here we begin to see Solomon describe who this book is for. And the first type of person he describes is someone who is naive, someone who's simple, someone who's gullible. Or sometimes it's put this way, someone who is open to anything. They will believe whatever you tell them. And the book of Proverbs talks about this kind of person a lot. It's the person who does not have wisdom. It's the person who isn't able to distinguish between right and wrong. And therefore, is at a very dangerous point. Because we don't just receive instruction and guidance from God and His Word, we receive it from other people. And so in Proverbs, for example, you have Lady Wisdom who's calling out to the naive and to the gullible. But you also have Lady Folly who's calling out as well. And the gullible isn't able to discern. The naive isn't able to figure this out. And unfortunately, our world is filled with people who would pride themselves on how open-minded they are. Who basically have the mindset that says, hey, whatever is good, let's just do it. And just kind of the approach that says, hey, that works. And that person is a naive or gullible person. And what that person needs in verse 4 is prudence. And prudence is an interesting word. Because often it's a word that has a kind of negative sense. Cunning or shrewd. It's a similar word that's used to describe Satan in Genesis 3. Crafty. And yet there is a positive bend to it in the book of Proverbs. Because if you think about someone who is shrewd or someone who is cunning, is able to navigate difficult situations and is able to understand how to interact with different people. And that actually is something that God wants His followers to have. Jesus told His disciples, you're going out in the midst of an evil world, and so you need to be wise as serpents. You need to have a kind of cunning, a kind of shrewdness that is able to properly interact with different people. And that's what a gullible or naive person needs. And the book of Proverbs promises to give it. A fifth benefit or purpose is found in the next part of verse 4. To the youth, knowledge and discretion. To give knowledge and discretion to the youth. And who are the youth? Well, I think we would rightly assume immediately young people. And certainly in the book of Proverbs, we'd think of a teenager, perhaps. Someone who's moving from childhood into the adult phase of life. And yet that word is actually used to describe Absalom as he is trying to take the kingdom away from David. It's also used actually to describe Joseph when Joseph's in prison in Egypt. And so that youth, in a biblical perspective, goes up quite a bit. That you're a youth until you are an elder. And I think as well, there probably is a little bit of a hint that it's not purely a matter of age, but it's also a matter of maturity. That perhaps you might have someone who is physically old, but is actually spiritually immature. And Proverbs is written for people like that. And what does Proverbs promise to do? It can give the youth knowledge and discretion. And again, knowledge would be right thinking and a right relationship with God and His world. And discretion is in some ways a difficult word to really grasp at what's being said. I think one commentator put it well. He said, really what Solomon is talking about here is the ability to form a practical plan of action and work it to its end. It's a kind of planning skill. And so what do young people need? They need to have a purpose. They need to move from being aimless and purposeless to knowing this is the path I need to take. This is where I need to go, and this is how I'm going to get there. And if you look at the book of Proverbs, it tells us that. It helps us to understand how to practically plan and live out these purposes. And so the book of Proverbs promises to give this to young people. Now you might be here this evening beginning to think, do I really want to sit here week after week in a study that's designed for naive people, and I don't think I'm naive, and for young people, and I don't think I'm immature. And so really, is there any value in this book for me? And the answer is definitely. Because look at what Solomon says in verse 5. What else will this book do? Well, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. Then in a sense, if we come to the book of Proverbs and we think, I already have wisdom. I don't need this book. That we are not a wise person. We're a fool. That a wise person is someone who doesn't necessarily think they have it all, but thinks, I need more wisdom. Because what a wise person does is he will hear, he will listen, he will look at what God has said, and he will increase in learning. And this is something I take great hope in. Because I know there are people here who I think have been studying God's Word longer than I've been alive. And I'm so thankful that we have people in our church that God has given knowledge and wisdom to. And for those people, every time we come back to the book of Proverbs, it just gets better. That when you are wise and you come to the book of Proverbs, you become wiser. You increase in your learning. That by nature, the wise are those who continue to hear and continue to listen. And perhaps if I can say it this way, one of the reasons that's true is because over time, as you come back to the book of Proverbs, you are facing new and different circumstances in your life. Maybe you began to read the book of Proverbs when you were a teenager. And you saw God's wisdom in light of the situations you were facing as a teenager. And then you came back after you're married and you're in your 20s. And you're looking through the book of Proverbs and you saw things there that you didn't really get before. Because now you're saying, I need to understand how to interact in life in ways I didn't understand before. And then you have children. You say, man, I don't know what to do with these children. And you come back to the book of Proverbs. And you begin to see what God wants us to do with children. And then your children get older. And now it's a different kind of parenting. And then your children move out of the home. And now you're in a different phase of life. And you've got to come back to Proverbs again and look and say, so what do I do now? And we're always facing experiences in life that we have not faced before. And what we need is we need God's wisdom. We need to know, what should I do now? And so, the book of Proverbs says, if you're wise, if you're someone who seeks to know God and seeks to follow Him, then you'll just get more wise. You will increase in your learning as you come to Scripture. It's in the book of Proverbs. And then secondly, a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Who's an understanding person? A discerning person. The kind of person who is able to distinguish between good and bad, between right and wrong. And what will this person get? They will acquire wise counsel. That they will make it their own. And what is wise counsel? Again, that's a word that's kind of tricky to really translate. One commentator, I think it was right in noting the word in some ways was used to talk about a rope that you would pull in order to navigate a ship on the sea. And so they said that really what that's saying is Proverbs provides guidance that enables the insightful to lead himself and others through life like a well-steered ship. So the person with insight, the person with understanding, the person who has discretion, is able to grab hold of the ropes of life and begin to navigate the choppy waters that they face. Wise counsel and guidance. And then finally in verse 6, what does the book of Proverbs give us? The book of Proverbs helps us to understand a proverb and a figure. The words of the wise and their riddles. To understand, I think, emphasizes again that this is not something that just kind of magically happens to us. But this is a skill that we continue to develop as we work hard at trying to understand what God has said. It is a muscle that is strengthened as we exercise it. And what is it that we understand? Proverbs. And we talked a lot about Proverbs last week. Those short, pithy, memorable sayings that are looking at general observations about life, interpreting them through the lens of Scripture. The second, a figure. Really, probably, the best way to understand this is satire. And you'll find that in Proverbs. You'll find that in other places in Scripture too. Satire is poking fun at things that should be mocked. It's highlighting the absurdity of a life lived apart from God. Maybe one example to think of is in Proverbs where it says, you know, a woman, a beautiful woman who does not have discernment is like a ring of gold in a pig's nose. And that's really a kind of satire. It's saying, look at this thing. You might be tempted at one level to think, oh, that's beautiful. But it's really not. And the Proverbs has these kinds of things that help expose the foolishness and emptiness of a life that does not match up with what God has said in His Word. Then the words of the wise is probably a point of saying it's not just what Solomon has to say in the Proverbs. He might even be talking about it in chapter 22. He actually had the collection of the sayings of the wise. So he might be pointing to the fact that it's not just what I have written, but it's others as well. Other aspects of wisdom that God has given to us. But then finally, there are riddles. My sons and I are occasionally now at dinner working through a book of riddles, just kind of thinking through things. And the riddle will be something like, you know, what has a key but no lock? And try to think through what it is, and it's a piano, right? And so the idea is it's something that you don't necessarily get it the first time you hear it. It's designed to make you think. It's an enigma. It's something that initially maybe even seems confusing. And what you need is you want to try to understand what's going on there. And I think what this is helping us to see is that if we want to have wisdom and understanding, it's not going to happen by giving little short bursts to it. And one of the problems in our day is we have very short attention spans, and they're just getting shorter. And we want, you know, give it to me in one tweet. What's the video clip that summarizes this? If I don't get it immediately, it's not worth my time. But that's not how Proverbs works. That we need to really think about it. And one way that I've heard it put, which is maybe helpful for you, is that as we're thinking about the Proverbs, picture it as if it's a peppermint. And maybe you know people who for some reason when they eat a peppermint, they pop it in their mouth and they immediately start chewing it. And it's gone pretty fast. But that's not how the Proverbs are meant to be enjoyed. They're meant to be sucked on for a while. They're meant to be savored. That if we're really going to get what God is saying, it's not going to happen immediately. It's going to take us thinking through them and devoting ourselves to them. And the more we do that, the better we will be at doing that. And so in a sense, what Solomon's saying is, if you look through the book of Proverbs, you'll be better at understanding the book of Proverbs. So the more you study it, the better you will be at understanding it. Because the Proverbs themselves are designed to make you think. They're designed to cause you to really wrestle with ideas. And so as we work through this book of Proverbs, hopefully one of the things that we will develop is a more discerning and a more understanding approach to what God says in His Word. So if I could maybe summarize it this way, what is the book of Proverbs promising us? It's promising us wisdom, discernment, insight. The ability to know how to navigate difficult situations in life. The ability to understand how to live in this world. But it's promising us those things as we are committed to doing the hard work of actually thinking and studying what God has said. And as we are committed to following it, to heed it, to welcome it, to embrace what God has said. And if we work through the book of Proverbs with that kind of mindset, then we will greatly benefit from what God has said here in this book. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are a wise God. And we thank You that You know this world and You know how to live in this world and how to navigate this world. And You know the difference between truth and error. And we confess far too often, we're simple, we're immature. that even as we have wisdom, we don't have all the wisdom that we need. Even as we have discernment, we need more discernment and greater understanding. And so we come to you and ask that you would give it to us. And we know that you will give it to us. But you've given us this book as one of the ways that we can get it. And so I pray that you would help us to work through this together, to be a church that is characterized by true wisdom. That we would know it. A true understanding and discernment. And that our lives would reflect more and more your righteousness and your justice and your equity. We pray these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.